Blog Talk Radio.
You clean dishes as you cook to save time and stay ahead of the mess. But scrubbing still takes time. Now there's Dawn Power Wash Dish Spray, the faster, easier way to clean as you go. It cleans grease 5 times faster. On easy messes, just spray, wipe, and rinse. On tough messes, the spray-activated suds cut through grease on contact without water. Just wipe and rinse. Get dishes done faster. Dawn Power Wash Dish Spray. Spray, wipe, rinse.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is a product of L.A. Beverly Enterprises versus, via the Beverly Nation. My name is Lewis, and this is Peripheral Vision. And hello, Beverly Nation. My name is Lewis Devon, and this is Peripheral Vision. Let me say it that way. Beverly Nation, it's great to be with you again tonight. I love you. I miss you. This is our first show for February 2014, and what a show we have for you this evening. First thing I'd like to do is shout out my buddy, Lonnie Aloysius Beverly, the producer of Beverly Nation, the entrepreneur that I admire so much, and the Beverly Nation family, friends, the connection that we have out there in the nation with all of our family and friends. I'd like to shout out all the Beverly Nation hosts. I try, you know, not to do it. I'm always advised not to try and name names, but you know, I just got an affinity for the Pattersons, Peter and Precious Patterson. I love the way they do what they do. I love the brain power that they bring. I love my sister Darlene Lawrence, my sister Lovely Ellis, our universal angel, Sister Aaliyah Love. Okay, now this is the part where, you know, the advice I probably should have took, because, you know, I know we have Brother Samia Myers, and I know we have the young sister, Fab and Fit, who has just joined us, and she has a great program. And you know what? I just want to, again, shout out the Beverly Nation. And we've been having a great time in 2014 so far. We gave honor and respect to our civil rights leader, and Martin Luther King, in January, and then we started a salute to the one-year anniversary of the Beverly Nation in February on last week, and it was just great. We're just having a great time. So tonight's topic, we're going to get into that, but let's start with a word of prayer, and then we're going to break into this thing and open it up a little bit and have fun tonight. We're just going to have a great time tonight. We are broadcasting out of Roslyn, PA, and our telephone number for those who want to call in and press 1 to talk is 347-202-0392. Again, that number is 347-202-0392. Okay, Beverly Nation, here we go. Let's have a word of prayer, then we can open up our topic tonight. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Beverly Nation, we're just going to open up on our topic tonight. I'm Republican, and tonight's topic is the conservative Republican platform, and my subtopic is fair and well, not welfare. Okay, so listen, I'm going to start this topic off. I want to bring to light a scripture, and then we're going to go and we're going to go back a little bit. We're going to go into deeper into this conversation. This scripture is located in the book of Amos. Okay, the book of Amos is one of the last scriptures in the Old Testament. It's just before Micah. In fact, it's just before Micah. But in the third chapter of the book of Amos, we're going to go to the third verse. And I know we have some Beverly Nation hosts and other family members who can appreciate scripture. That's why, you know, I just love to break open with scripture, kind of let you know as a person where I'm coming from, and, you know, kind of give you an idea of, what my walk is like nowadays, you know. So I try to go with scripture. So let's go with some scripture here. It says Amos 3:3. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? okay? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, my name is Louis D. Vaughan, Louis H. D. Vaughan. I live in historical Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the birthplace of America. And several years ago, I made what some consider a bold decision to switch my party affiliation to the Republican Party. I just want to take a moment to explain why I became a Republican and why it is the right move to make at this time in my life, not only for me, but for all brothers and sisters of the black community. You see, in recent history, the Democratic Party has created this illusion that their agenda and their policies are what's best for black people. You know, somehow it's been forgotten that the Republican Party was founded before as an abolitionist movement. Let me just say that again. The Republican Party was founded in 1854 as an abolitionist movement with one simple creed, that slavery is a violation of human rights. You know, it's a violation of the rights of man. Frederick Douglass called the Republican Party the freedom, or the party of freedom and progress. And the first Republican president was Abraham Lincoln, the author of the Emancipation Proclamation. It was the Republicans in Congress who authored the 14th, 13th, and 15th Amendment. Let me just say that again. It was the Republicans in Congress who authored the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. You know, Americans, black people, look it up. Look it up. It gave former slaves citizenship, voting rights, and due process of law. The Democrats, on the other hand, were the party of Jim Crow. It was Democrats who defended the rights of slave owners. It was the Republican president, Dwight Eisenhower, who championed the Civil Rights Act of 1957. But it was the Democrats in the Senate who filibustered the deal. See, at the heart of liberalism is the idea that only a great and powerful and big government can be the benefactor of social justice for all Americans. But the left is only concerned with one thing, control. And they disguise this control as charity, you know, programs such as welfare and food stamps. You know, these programs aren't designed to lift Americans or to lift African Americans out of poverty. They have always been intended as a mechanism for politicians to control the black community. The idea that blacks or anyone needs the government to get ahead in life is despicable. I'm going to say that again. The idea that blacks or anyone needs the government to get ahead in life is despicable. And even more than this idea, it's a failure. Not only is it despicable, it's a failure. Now let's look at our communities. Our communities are just as poor as they always have been. Our schools continue to fail children. Our prisons are filled with young black men who should be at home being fathers. Our self-initiative and our self-reliance have been sacrificed in exchange for the alliance to our overseers who control us by making us dependent on them. I'm going to say that again. Our self-initiative and our self-reliance have been sacrificed in exchange for allegiance to our overseers who control us by making us dependent on them. You know, the word freedom is tossed around so often. You know, it has become like a cliche. The idea of freedom is complex and all-encompassing. It is the idea that our government must be free of persuasion, or that our economy, excuse me, it is the idea that our economy must be free of government persuasion. It is the idea that the press must operate without government intrusion. That's freedom. Freedom is the idea that private or personal information should be free of government seizure. Freedom is the idea that parents must be the decision makers for their children's education. You know, not some school deciding on or teachers or some school deciding to teach our children some complex sexual issues in public schools, et cetera. But most importantly, it is the idea that the individual must be free to pursue his or her own happiness, free from government dependence and free from government control. To be truly free is to be reliant on no one other than the author of our destiny, you know, who is God. He's the author of our destiny. These are the ideas at the core of the Republican Party, and that is why I am a Republican today. You know, so my brothers and sisters of the Beverly Nation and America at large, please join me in abandoning this government plantation and the party of disappointment. And let's all echo the words of one Republican leader who famously said, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last." That was Dr. King. So, you know, the way I see it, you guys, it's a new day. You know, we're getting ready to make history. Now, I've been talking to a lot of young men in the inner city around Philadelphia and different places. We've been meeting at the coffee shops. We've been meeting on the playgrounds, the recreation centers. I teach CPR, so I've been conducting CPR classes with some of the guys in different neighborhoods. And a lot of this work is complimentary because I basically want to give them an opportunity to register for school for other healthcare careers that they want to get involved in. Plus, I want to get an opportunity to speak with them about their political affiliation. And what I believe is a great vision for African-American men in particular. And what I believe is the right vision for America, period. You know, there is so much attached. Now, I gave you a scripture earlier. And I said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, let's talk about two walking together, and let's talk about agreement. You know, because, you know, they say, you know, you shouldn't mix faith and politics. Well, faith and politics go hand in hand. Faith and politics go hand in hand. Your faith should drive your politics. Your faith should dictate what your politics is. Now, here's another topic along the lines of why I am Republican today. I don't agree. I don't agree that children should be – I don't agree with abortion. I don't agree with abortion. Okay. There is a legislation, and there are provisions in the new – in a new government health care act that will provide funds for abortions, and it will provide funds for contraception. You know, to me, okay, let's talk about how can I agree with that? I mean, that is in a way, the way I see it, that is in a way, it promotes promiscuity in our communities. I mean, what need is there for a man and a woman who is married, which is the definition, or which is the purpose for couples to get together and to procreate anyway? I mean, let's really get down to it. If your government is encouraging you to be promiscuous, how can I, as a man of God, as a man of faith, agree with that? Well, what do you mean that they're encouraging us to be promiscuous? Well, you know, if you have, you know, okay, there is no need for a husband and wife, you know, to have an abortion. Tradition, I mean, what need is there for a husband and wife to have an abortion? There is plenty of need for people who are, you know, promiscuous, you know, to have abortions. I can imagine why folks who, you know, practice a promiscuous lifestyle or, you know, fornication. Come on, I'm talking spiritual now because this is now the way I link my faith to my vote. And as a spiritual, and looking at this as, if, according to my faith, you know, abortion is so much attached to that. You know, in the book of Hosea, and please forgive me for not having the direct address, the nation of Israel was going under persecution. God was going to punish and bring judgment according to the children of Israel for abortion. And it's considered bringing the children under the fire. You know, they're called the children to walk through the fire. They're called the children to be sacrificed. They're called the children to be killed, to be murdered. So since 1973, Roe v. Wade has been a decision from the Supreme Court that Democrats enforce, and it's a part of the agenda of the liberal platform to promote abortion. I mean, you know, you say they don't promote abortion. Well, listen, if you're pro-choice, that's what you're voting on. That's what you're voting on. If you're pro-life like me, and like in a conservative Republican platform, it's conservative. We vote pro-life. Look, give the child a chance to live. It is not our right to kill babies. It is not pleasing in the eyesight of God for us to kill babies. It's just as simple as that. Now, we can get all, you know, technical with it, and, you know, you can get all intellectual about it, and what are the reasons, or what about in this case, and what about in that case, and what about in this case, and what about in that case. You know, what about, you know, the government's or this party's idea of telling a woman what to do with her body? I'm not telling anybody what to do with their body. I'm not telling anybody what to do with their body. The idea is I won't support a party that has legislation that supports killing babies. Abortion is baby killing. If you do some research and look up late-term abortions, you know, this guy Gosnell, who was located right here in Philadelphia, it was a house of horrors, and we support that. Us, faithful people, you know, faithful people, the church Democrats, which is reckless. I'm sorry. I just think for us to be people of God and for us to support the Democratic and liberal platform is just absolutely reckless. So, you know, I mentioned the young men that I speak to, and again, I just kind of run a report on that. We more and more guys every day, you know, and it's a new day. We're getting ready to make history in this country, you know, that will change the electoral politics in this nation. You know, there is time for change, and the cry for change, and there's a cry for change. You know, people are not getting the service they require. The old rules no longer apply. You know, this is no longer, you know, your mama and daddy's Republican Party. You know, this is a new day. This is an awakening in our community. And, it's, you know, it's not just me. It's many African-American Republicans. I mean, do you have a problem with Colin Powell? If you do, let me know. You know, Alan West, you know, Jay-Z, Nas. And listen, remember, you know, I'm Republican, and I did vote for Barack Obama. We're talking platform right now. And in spite of my platform and what I disagree with as far as the Democratic platform is concerned, I still voted for Barack Obama because there, to me, is still a sense of being sensitive to the time. I felt that it was time for Barack Obama. I felt that he was a better candidate than John McCain. I felt that American foreign policy was suffering and that this man was the answer and solution to our foreign policy issues. And he's come in and he's been a champion for foreign policy. Basically, he's been a champion for foreign policy. Okay, he's been cleaning up a lot of the mess that America has been making in the last 100 years around the world. I believe Barack Obama personally is a man of God. I believe Barack Obama and Michelle Obama personally are people of God. And I think that they are of good conscience, and I think that they are regular American people. I voted for them for many different reasons. You know, they didn't come from the entitlement class or the supremacy class. They didn't come from a supremacy class. They didn't feel like it was their right to get in the White House and, you know, push forth, you know, a supremacist agenda for America. You know, they were just paying up some of their bills from college. But the point I'm making is, you know, I know how, as a voter, I know how to separate the candidate from the platform. I do. I know how to separate the candidate and check out the candidate. And this is one of the things that I believe more African Americans are doing. This is what I'm happy about. This is what I'm talking about in terms of a new day and an awakening. But, you know, So you know, in terms of people, if you want to look up legislation that Republicans has pushed and got through the Senate, look at what the Republicans did on the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. Look at what the first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, was able to accomplish. And he was the president of the – he made the Emancipation Proclamation. He wrote that. I don't know how – you know, some people think that, you know, we as African Americans, we began to start – you know, we began voting Democrat when, you know, when Kennedy basically made some phone calls, Robert Kennedy made some phone calls and got Dr. King removed from jail. Yeah, but the fact is that he was jailed in a state that was a Democratic, you know, that had a Democratic governor. Look, I just want to kind of let's cut through the deception of what the Democrats and Republicans do. Let's cut through the some of the deception of politics in general. I'm not a politician. I'm a regular guy. I'm not a politician, but I'm a free thinker, and I'm proud of America. I'm proud to be American. I'm grateful to be a man. I'm grateful to be a man living in this time, in this country, in this point in time in history. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for there are some things that you know that is commendable. Some Democrats have helped to promote, but I tell you what. It's just not enough in contrast to the Republican accomplishments for the African Americans, and we're not seeing that. And you know, we're too immersed in bigotry, we're too immersed in our rhetoric to really kind of look at things line by line and precept by precept. Who has done more for the African Americans? You know, President Dwight Eisenhower was a Republican. He championed the legislation in 1957 for the Civil Rights Act. That is significant. Jim Crow was the party of the Democrats. We can't get, you know, why are we trying to ignore that? When I became Republican, I just started having conversations with my friends and my peers. And more and more as I continue to have these conversations, it just doesn't really make sense. And then you know, when we look at our community, a large you know demographic of support comes from the African American community, especially in our churches, for the Democratic Party. Well, Democrats are the party of separation of church and state. Democrats are the party of removing the Bibles from schools, removing prayers from schools. You know, they voted, I think, in 2006 to put God back in the platform, to put God back in the Republican, the Democratic National Convention. They had to vote to get him back in. It's a secular party. It has a secular platform. It's the platform of atheism. It's still mind-boggling. It's still baffling. How do we support these people? When we look at the last 50 years of progress in our community, some of the things that I talked about, look at our unemployment rate at 15%. You know, we're looking at most of our young men are in prison. We've been voting Democrat for the last 50 years. We have to hold them accountable for what we see in our schools. We have to hold them accountable for what we're seeing in our communities, because they are our leaders. That's why I talked about in weeks past and I talk about to our young men, look, it is no longer acceptable for us. It is no longer intelligent for us to vote with them just because it's election day. It is more intelligent for us to take our ballot, stand in the middle of the road, and say, we are undecided. I'm not telling people to think like I think as far as Republican. I got some research. I got some years in terms of research on Republicans and examining the Democrats, examining the Republicans closely. I have years in doing that closely. So I'm not asking folks who I have, you know, people who are relatively uninformed on how politics work or, you know, they don't know much about the Republican Party. They don't know that much about Democrats except that their family votes Democrat. And I'm not asking these guys to know what I know, but I'm just saying be intelligent with the ballot. Take your vote and stand in the middle of the road and say, look, we're undecided. So if you want our vote, what will you do? What can you do? It is no longer acceptable. And for us, I talk to so many circles of people. There's a men's prayer line that I like to join in the morning. You know, prayer in the morning is just refreshing. Okay, there's a men's prayer line. And, before I make that point, I just want to invite the Beverly Nation to join our conversation tonight. Our number is 347-202-0392. We are broadcasting out of Roslyn, PA. And our number is, again, 347-202-0392. And I just, wow, dear God, you guys, we have a great number on Beverly Nation tonight. We have over 12,000 listeners, 12,345 listeners that are, engaged with us tonight. That are paying attention and I really appreciate that you would listen and take the time out of your busy schedule on a Tuesday night to sit down with us here at the Beverly Nation and just, take part of this conversation. It's a family conversation. It's really not, a debate. This is why I'm Republican. I'm Republican for freedom. I'm Republican because we need to see change in our community. I'm Republican because I'm fed up with the deception. And I think we have done ourselves a disservice by giving up so much for what we consider is free. Nothing is really free. What is free? You're going to pay one way or the other, So what I do is I encourage young men to retool themselves with education, young men and women too, retool themselves with education. And that was one of the things on the platform that the Bush administration came in and supported, education. I remember I worked at this subprime lender called Connie Mortgage back in the late 90s, and I was a loan processor. Okay, so it was kind of my job at that point to help people. It put together loan packages for people who really were not qualified, okay? So after the subprime, Connie Mortgage went down, just like a lot of other companies like Enron and Lehman Brothers. Connie Mortgage went down. They were the second largest subprime lender in the United States. Basically, they overwrote themselves on loans, wrote too much bad paper, and people couldn't pay those loans back. And folks got in trouble because people were basically getting loans that they could not support. They couldn't support, and they were allowed to, take out loans, and basically write in information that was not researched or that was not true. You can tell us anything in terms of how much you make. You can tell us anything in terms of how much you have saved in the bank, and you can get a loan, an astronomical loan with a crazy interest rate. So I was kind of like right in the middle of that subprime lending thing. Then in the late 1999, the company closed, and I went to another company, and that company closed, and then I had to kind of go and figure out what it was I was going to do with the rest of my life. I got all this, financial experience, but at the same time, I kind of wanted to get away from that elitist circle and that corporate America feeling, the cubicles with the suits, and the little elitist groups, the little management groups, and the people that's trying to catch up to management and trying to suck up. I just kind of needed to get away from all of that. I was not encouraged to be a friend to people, so my communication skills were not used for what I considered was a righteous way. My skills were used to, try to intimidate people to, pay their loan. Or try to intimidate people to, just do things they didn't want to do. And I was encouraged and trained to do that. So that whole market crumbled. And what Bush came in 2000 and did was he helped with the Secretary Rod Page, who was the first black education secretary. We're going to talk about that in a second. They together came with government assistance in terms of education, re-educate. So I went to school for EMT in 2003, and I became an EMT. And then in 08, I went to school for to become a CPR instructor. And the idea was to re-educate yourself. That was a Republican platform. That was a Republican initiative to re-educate yourself, because the old model of the economy, the big business economy, was crumbling. And so now, because I took that education advice, and went to school, and remember, when I went to school, my education only cost a fraction of what it costs today. The same education, the same EMT paramedic education that I went through back in 2003 would only cost a fraction of what they are charging right now, with the larger schools that are charging right now. So, you know, I don't know what it is about Democratic administrations, but when we see Democratic administrations, we see higher taxes, we see larger government, we see prices go up, we see the price of the, we see the value of the dollar go down. I mean, that's just what happens. And y'all know I love Barack Obama. Okay, anyway, I just, you know, just want to make sure, Lonnie, is the connection good tonight?
You sound wonderful. I'm not trying to come on this program at all, but
okay.
You sound wonderful. But since you brought me on, I'm going to do BevNet business, if you don't mind.
Okay.
And it's only going to take me 30 seconds to announce that we do have a new BevNet record. We have 13,008.
Jesus.
13,008. And I hope it climbs throughout the program, because we have a little less than 30 minutes left. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm the producer of producers. Your mama know me. Lonnie Aloysius Zeppelin. Did I go there? Yeah, I did. I'm a mess. But you know what, though? Before we go there, Brother Lou, I want to bring on Minister Audrey Dennis on this program. And Minister Dennis, how are you tonight?
Hello.
You're talking to Lou DeVos.
I'm fine. I am fabulous. How are you? How are you,
all
Brother
well,
Lou?
I'm doing great tonight. I feel great. It's great to hear your voice. And how you doing tonight? How's it going? What is your opinion on tonight's topic?
I do have some questions. I have been listening to the history of Republicans, and it was very interesting. But it doesn't matter to me today, because they don't act the same. They're totally different. If you could tell me how do you see them giving us equal opportunity and stop showing favoritism to the rich? You know, we have a history of Republicans supporting poverty. They show selfishness. Now, I'm trying to be gentle about my feelings, because I do love you, my brother. I do. But our country has went into debt because of war, and it seems that Republicans love war. And during this war, they slaughter men, women, and children. You know, we've seen a lot of manipulation, a lot of lying going on, a lot of, in my opinion, robbing and stealing when you're taking someone else's oil. And then I think they holler about abortion as if we support it, when even criminals agree that abortions are wrong. But they want to throw up a moral smokescreen because they think that they have the right to judge a particular sin, when all the time they are sinning. The whole entire time they're sinning. How can I point my finger at you, brother, if I'm standing in the same boat with you, maybe standing in the same pile of crap with you, but I'm going to point my finger at you? That's craziness. And that's what they've shown us. See, I'm sorry. I'm not claiming that our Democrats are perfect and without sin. No, but two brothers with sin can't say nothing. They both got to stand there and be quiet.
Okay,
no,
I,
nobody
I
got a right to judge.
I agree with a lot
I
of
only,
what you're saying. The thing about abortion to me is not the fact that I kind of take my eyes off of people when we look at the fact of the Republican platform supports life. The Republican platform supports life. The Democratic platform supports choice. So it's a clear choice you have right there to say you're going to support a child's right to living, or you're going to support a state's right to terminate the life of a child. And that right there is a very serious moral question, especially for people of God, because when we look at a history, the nation of Israel was judged, came under judgment because of the same activity in the book of Hosea. I mean, I'm just talking about the faith and the abortion issue alone. And now, it doesn't really make us moral to say, it's not a question of my morality. It's a question of, with my vote, who do I support? Which idea do I support? Do I support a child's right to live with my vote, or do I support the state's right to terminate the life of a child? And as a Christian, I cannot, with any conscience, vote with the state's right to terminate a life. I have to vote with the right for a child to live.
Okay, I understand that, and I agree with you.
Do you agree with that?
No, I don't agree with abortion, period. But I don't agree with a person who does everything they want to, live any kind of life, and even have abortions, to tell me that my God-given right doesn't matter because my sin is greater than their sins. That's not the truth. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
If they weren't guilty of the same sins, then maybe perhaps they could say something. But they're guilty of the exact same sins. It's a smokescreen. You're gonna tell me you don't do one thing.
Right. But this is where I'm getting to. See, I'm trying to keep our focus on the platforms and what we believe in our hearts and faith. I'm trying to keep the focus on the platforms, because even when we talk about the move to go into Iraq from the Bush administration, there was strong support from Hillary Clinton who supported that move. So that was Democratic support. Biden supported that. John Kerry supported that. So it was a lot of support. I kind of want to take it away from what people do and kind of take the eyes off and say, with our conviction as people of God, do we support a child's right to live? And I think that should not be overlooked or taken lightly, and I think we have to really examine that, because the Republican Party has a platform that supports that child's right to live. And the Republican the Democratic liberal platform says that the state has a right to terminate the life of that child. And as a Christian, where do you go with your ballot? Where do you put your – and then another question that you have to ask yourself as a Christian, because a lot of Democratic support comes from the African-American community in our churches. Another question is, what does the separation of church and state mean to us as voters? Do we believe that God should not be involved in decisions and in lawmaking? Or do we want to take God away? The idea that taking Bibles and prayers out of school was Democratic ideas and legislation. Do we support that as people of God? And if so, why do we support that? Because I go back to that scripture in Amos 3:3. It says, how can two walk unless they agree? So how can we agree with that? And how can you walk with Democrats unless you agree that it's okay, to kill children? And that argument should not be. We really overlooked that. And these children that are in these clinics, look at this Gosnell clinic. Do some research on late term abortions. And you are a woman, so I know you know more about these abortions than I do. I know you know.
Yes.
That. It's a house of horrors. It's a house of horrors.
And I agree, but the thing is, it's wrong to kill children at war.
We have to stand for the right of these children to live. We have a vote, and we have a voice and a say-so in getting those laws changed and overturned. Roe versus Wade, we can overturn that, and we can promote families in our country. We can promote right relationships between men and women in our country, not what's convenient for men and women in our country. We can promote what God promotes. Adam and Eve was the idea of marriage between a man and woman, And God said, be fruitful and multiply. There was not an abortion clinic in the Garden of Eden. And we as people, especially people of God, we have to really look at that and say, Lord, listen, I'm going to support you. Whose side are you going to be on? And you know, that's how I feel about the faith part of my decision to become Republican.
Well, no, I don't want to cut across here. Audrey, we do have some other people who want to get on, and I don't want to slight you, so that's why I'm coming on to tell you, please make your last comment or if it's a question, and so we can go on to the next caller. Thank you.
Okay. I just wanted to say this. When it comes to morals, we can't just stop at just one particular sin or look at just the homosexuals. We got to be aware of the fact that we do the same thing in other countries. Our wars have not been legit. Killing children over there is wrong, too. And so I just want to we just got to come together. We're going to stand together. We got to stand together on everything and stop handpicking what we want to handpick.
Thank you so much, Sister Audrey Dennis. And Sister Audrey Dennis is one of our, she's one of our one of our beloved hosts, and she has the Soul Flame Foundations with Audrey Dennis. You can catch her once a month here on the Beverly Nation, and she is very insightful, and she is a woman of God. So don't get me confused in what I'm saying. She is a woman of God, and she's very knowledgeable in Scripture, and she is a friend to the Beverly Nation. And if you get a chance to know her out there, Beverly Nation, you get a chance to know her, you will discover a great person to have and a great person to have in your corner. She is fiercely loyal to whoever she considers a friend. And I love Audrey Dennis. Let that be known. So we're going to continue.
Yes, we're going to continue, and we have the Pattersons, so we have to keep on moving. This is a radio show. We got to keep on moving. So we do have the Pattersons. Pattersons, you have 4 minutes to proclaim your question or comment, and I will cut you at the three-minute mark.
Hey, you guys. Good to have you tonight.
How you doing? Congrats on the breaking the number, man. Good job.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Listening to what you're saying, and I know you're a Republican, but, you know, you're beating up on the Democrats. It's a little too much. Because when it came to the Bible, I've been taking the prayer stuff out of school. When they were going for that, a very powerful Democrat by the name of Jimmy Carter was pushing to keep it in. It wasn't all the Democrats were saying, take it out, take it out. And a lot of the Republicans are pro-choice. Not pro-life, pro-choice. There was no death, murder. There was none of that before sin happened in the Garden of Eden. So, I mean, I'm listening to what you're saying. I understand this stuff. But when you start doing like you're saying, changing the law to this and that and for these other children, you're pushing your beliefs on other people. And that's not what the freedom of belief, speech, religion, and everything that we have in place is for.
Can I just say one thing, and I want to go into, and it's
thank
not
you,
about
Peter.
Lewis. No, Peter's going to stay on the line when I say that. Peter, we talked about transgender bathrooms, correct, on your program, correct?
Sure,
that I allowed you to do, right?
Yep.
All right, who voted for those transgender bathrooms? That's where it comes. That's where the rubber hits the road.
Okay.
The Republicans lost in that situation by 42 votes. We're from California, and I said I wasn't going to get on this program, but I hear what you're saying, and I'm not defending Lou. Lou, I'm not trying to defend you. I'm talking Lonnie Beverly to Peter Patterson and the projection of Republicans. Man, that bill should have never been passed. We have to rediscover, no matter where, like Sister Dennis said, no matter if we're Republican or Democrat, we got to reconsider what the hell are we doing? What the hell are we doing? Who is voting for this foolishness? Really? I mean, y'all drinking goat heads? Let me know, because I want to know, you know, who is voting for transgender bathrooms in the state of California? Good point. But any last things you want to say to Brother Lou tonight before we go to the next caller? Pete, that wasn't against you, but I'm just trying to tell you that something is wrong. I don't care if it's an alley cat versus a pit bull. Whoever voted for it needs to go to hell. And that's my word. Say some more to Brother Lou. And I love you, Pete. Thank you.
Well, I agree with you because that's what we said on the show, remember? Don't matter what you are, you know, wrong is wrong, and that was just stupid. But, you know, but back to Lou, you know, I don't think, like we said before, once you talked about, you know, Democrats, Republicans and stuff, I don't think that it depends on the party. I think it depends on the person. But you got crazies on both on every house. And you got some sensible people. But right now, it's just the crazies are outnumbering the sensibles. And with people, you know, pushing money in their pockets, hey, you know, you get $100,000 or $1 million kickback from something, yeah, you'll vote for them because you want that money. And greed is just, it's killing politics. That's what politics is about. It's just all about the money. It's not about what's right for the people. It's about what's money. And you look at when it comes voting time, everything that people start complaining about, that's when all the politicians are for it. Whatever party's the highest, whatever people are saying the most of, either yay or nay, that's when they go for it. Afterwards, they don't care. They'll go with whoever puts the most money in their pocket. And that's the damn thing. Oops, sorry.
No, you're right. And, Peter, you're right. And the greatest thing about Beverly Nation, Lou, and I got to come with it again, because, you know, we have an obligation to be able to show every side of the spectrum. Every side of the spectrum. What Sister Dennis said was important, very important. I'm glad she's on the air to hear me say this. She asked questions. She wanted to know, hey, her point as a minister, she's saying, Lou, that everyone, no, you know, see who is out sin cast the first stone. I understand what Minister Dennis is saying. She's of the ecclesiastical part of our business, okay? She's a minister. I understand what Brother Patterson, who will give you his opinion any night of the week, even when he sleeps, okay? He'll let you know why he's snoring. You wrong. How you doing? So that's what Pete does, okay? And then we love Peter Patterson. So, Lou, this topic tonight has brought up, you know, fire from everyone, including Darlene Lawrence, who expressed her opinion last night. How about that, Lou DeVon?
This is the tip of the iceberg, and I kind of wanted to respond to something Sister Darlene said last night, and she wanted to make a challenge to say what.
Hold on. Before you do that, thank the pastors for coming on this program.
Absolutely. Thank you, Peter and Precious. I'm not sure if Precious had something to say, but I appreciate Peter's comment. Absolutely. And Peter, it's not that I'm really am trying to press my opinion on other people. It's just I'm telling you why this is where I'm going, and this is why I'm here. And I think that is the difference. And folks are going to do, you know, what they want to do. I'm sophisticated enough to realize that by now, that folks just kind of, you know, going to do, you know, their own thing. And people come to their own conclusion based on their own experience, like me, just like me. So I just kind of wanted to just kind of give kind of go back to a part when I said that the Republican Congress, the Republicans were the Republicans in Congress, they authored the 13th, 14th, and 15th amendments. And that is in direct support of the civil rights of African Americans. And I know that there was a challenge out there last night to say, show Sister Lawrence where the where there was you know, Democratic or Republican legislation that supported civil rights, and also the Abraham Lincoln also authored the Emancipation Proclamation. And that was in support of civil rights for African Americans and for slaves. So Jim Crow. Got to remember, Jim Crow was he was supported by the Democratic Party. Even though Dwight Eisenhower, he championed the Civil Rights Act of 1957. It was John F. Kennedy as a senator. As a senator in Boston, who filibustered, he was in the Senate, he helped filibuster, he voted against the Civil Rights Act of 1957. All I'm doing tonight is let's bring light into some of the ideas and to some of the deception, the darkness that suggests that the Democrats are basically, you know, in support of our people and have been in support of our people since day one, when that's not really the case.
I'm going to cut you off because Minister Dennis wanted to come back on for a second to tell you something.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt him, but I did want to tell you that I love you. And I wanted to use the Beverly Nation as an example. Regardless of our beliefs and our opinions and how we feel, because I get very emotional, we still love each other. And I wanted to ask, why come the Republicans is not able to do that with President Obama right now, since they are the bigger
man?
I'll
give you one example. But let me respond to that. I'll give you one example where Republicans were able to embrace Barack Obama. So, I'm sorry, say that again, Lonnie.
No, I was telling Orgy Patrick, and we got to keep him because I might. Before you do that, and keep that in your mind, and that Orgy, boy, she's still starting mess. I'm going to get her later on. Still starting. I love it. I love this. Beverly Nation has advertised through L.A. Beverly Enterprise. You reach us at thebeverlynation.vpweb.com. You know the great man is with you at lbeverly_blogtalkradio. You can check out my movie right now. I just put on Facebook, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Lonnie A. Beverly, right there on Facebook, Beverly Nation, as well as the BevNet. Where else do you get Twitter work? Right there at lbeverly17. And any comments or suggestions, when I rise my head tomorrow, if I feel like reading it, I will... lbeverly17@gmail.com. You know I read every one of my hate or love mails, and I say the same thing. The BevNet, thank you for your support. Go ahead and answer that question, Lou, and then
thank
I'm going to bring on Sister Darlene Lawrence.
Thank you. Well, to answer that question, that was a great question and a great comment from Sister Audrey Dennis about Barack Obama not really receiving the support from Republicans, but at the same, you know, but we have to realize that General Colin Powell, who was the former Secretary of State of the Bush administration, he endorsed Barack Obama in 2012 for re-election, not election, re-election. So he, as a Republican, one of the biggest and one of the strongest conservative Republicans in America, he supported, with all of his support, he got behind Barack Obama, and he gave reasons why. He wasn't doing it just because it may have been popular. He did that in the face of facing down his own party, who had actually a good chance of winning in 2012. But he did support Barack Obama. So just like I supported Barack Obama, just like Lonnie Beverly supported Barack Obama as Republicans, not necessarily black Republicans, but as Republicans. So there are examples of where people can, you know, be objective about what they feel politically is the right thing to do and do what political right thing to do is. So, you know, all that I have to say about the Democratic platform in terms of what I don't believe in, I still voted for Barack, I still voted for Michelle, in spite of my beliefs on abortion, and in spite of my beliefs on big government taxation and other things. So I did go against
You know what, I'm going to tell you something too, Lou, and before I bring Darlene on too, you know, Ricky Jones just chatted me and said that even, you know, to say to Audrey Dennis, let's go to, you know, where the rubber hits the road, the president didn't get support from his own party.
Oh, my God.
So it goes right back to what Audrey says, like, you know, when you lie down, she didn't say this, but I'm going to say it in her little West Virginia way, when you lie down with dogs, you're going to get up with fleas, you know what I mean, for real, that's what it's all about, you know. You know, who's on, like you said, Lou, who's on the lower side? Tonight, I have to correct Brother Lou Devon tonight. Tonight, I live in Geneva, Switzerland, okay? I'm not Democrat or Republican. I'm producer, okay? Tomorrow, you might catch me on another rant, and I'll get you tomorrow. But tonight, I have to be fair to my other host, Darlene Lawrence. I have no opinion. But I had to get on the air, and I wanted to be blunt with everybody in the world. I want to thank, first of all, Lou. You just went to, let me tell you something. You just got a lot of people from Detroit, Michigan tonight, 700 people in Detroit, 1,817 from Chicago, 1,700 from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the home of TalkShoe.com, which I'll be on Friday. In California, thank you so much. We had 1,385 people in the area of Los Angeles, and the list goes on and on. I don't have time, but I love each and every one of you. But the greatest thing about it is, I got to go there, okay? Here's the situation. Listen to what I'm about to say to you, and it's going to blow your mind.
Go ahead, Lon.
Somewhere in California, there were some psychopaths. Now, you do the math and find out who voted for it, okay? This is the editorial time, maybe of 60 seconds. Someone voted for transgender bathrooms in the elementary school. How does little Jenny at 5 know she a boy or girl now? And why should my taxpayer money pay for that?
I didn't know it was elementary school.
talk to the pastors. Tell you they have a whole, they have two real good transcripts on it. So let the record show. Find out who voted for that and get back to Lonnie Aloysius, and that's how it is. On that note, we're going to bring on Darlene Lawrence, Sister of Righteous Consciousness. My sister, thank you for being so patient tonight. I will, in your talk tonight, if it gets to the one-minute mark, I don't care who's talking, I will interrupt. We let the people know we have to go into archive. Go ahead and talk, do take care of your business.
Okay, my brother. You know I love you too, and I want to tell you that, number one. Okay, and I just want to tell you that I respect you. I think you have presented an excellent delivery of the support of your party, and I don't
Thank
care
you.
If you was from the polka dot party. I'm going to love you anyway. And that's what everybody got to know about the Beverly Nation, because
I hope people know how important that is to me. I hope everybody realizes how important that, what you just said, is to me. Absolutely.
And that's how it is. We are a family, and we
right.
are about God's work. And we may have differences in opinions, but it is about love. It is about wanting to see progression. I commend you on the record breaker of your 13-plus, whatever the numbers were. That is awesome. That is evidence that God is in the mix of what we are doing. So,
praise
you
God.
Know, I just want to tell you, you know, you said some things to me that always touched my heart. You got my back, and I want you to always know I got yours too, because you are my brother, my brother. Come on, Lonnie, you want to cut me now, right?
No, we only at the 3-minute mark. You keep on talking, all you want to talk, keep on talking.
Oh, I got more time.
No. But you know what, I'm going to keep you on the line. And I just wanted to say, you know, I want all the Beverly Nation hosts to come on at this time. But before I bring them all back on again, I want to bring on Bane and Lovely Ellis. Y'all mind? You want to bring on the Universal Angel at this time?
She's the most consistent. And things it wouldn't even be right if she wasn't here tonight.
Absolutely not. Hey, Lovely.
Good evening, Lewis. Good evening, Beverly Nation family. How y'all doing tonight?
All is well.
It's great. All right. I can't stay long because I'm doing some stuff around the house, but I just wanted to let y'all know. Do y'all want to know what I believe?
Okay, there you go. Go ahead, Lovely. Yeah.
All right. I believe I can fly.
That's
Come
messed
on,
up.
Girl. Come on now.
No, that's messed up. That's some 2 Chainz on some clone vegetables.
I believe I can fly.
And you can
girl.
Because
on,
you're
see.
The universal
no,
angel.
She must be Republican.
I do believe I can fly. We all fly on the Beverly Nation. So I just want to say congratulations to you, Lewis. Congratulations to you. All of us, we're doing it. We're making the Beverly Nation fly. So that's why I wanted to say I believe
Amen.
I can fly. We all fly together. So I'm just going to keep it cute and simple and positive and just go on that. How you like some apples?
That's right.
Well, you know what, though? You stay on the line because I'm going to go into business. Folks, I want to thank the three, you ready for this? The 1,300. And 13,110 people that join us tonight on this wonderful Beverly Nation night.
First of all, I want to thank God for what we have done on this network. To have Lewis H. Devon Jr. and Peripheral Vision on tonight, you know, it's been, you guys don't understand just the vision that we had in this network. And I'm bringing on some people in a few minutes. To have Lovely Ellis, the late, great Darlene Lawrence, the 2018 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting Enshrining. And you don't know how wonderful that sounds. May she rest in peace. The only Hall of Famer on our network that's not here, you know, on this earth, but she hears me right now loud and clear. Peter and Precious Patton, what they've done for the network. And our first chaplain on our network, you know, back in the day, Miss Right Reverend, Audrey Dennis. What Lewis Devon did for us is astounding. He understood what broadcasting prowess is all about. The days of just 13,000 people, now we're in the millions of people, the countless millions, is amazing. And that group of people loved each other. They supported each other. There was never an excuse to come on the air to support each other. What happened to it? We're on our first call tonight, and this person is the 2019. Now, listen to that, right? Dolly Lawrence was here at that time, but this person now is the 2019 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting Enshrining, the wonderful Jersey Jewell, Ms. Jerry Petito.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, reminiscing. Reminiscing is wonderful.
Yeah, me too. Oh, my gosh. What a show. I'm sitting here, I have tears in my eyes. I'm smiling. I'm like, oh, my goodness. What a beautiful, amazing, incredible show. Thank you.
Yeah, we thank you for what you've done for us since, you know, way back in 2018. How about that? You know, you came on, and these archives was before you, Jerry. Imagine that. You're hearing the history of Beverly Nation tonight. And Louis A. Savon Jr. is a good friend of mine. He's a truck driver now, and he's doing his thing out there. He travels all across the country. And, and Honey Bakatoon was one of his first interviews in 2018 was with Louis H. Devon. And it's archived. Get a chance to hear that. But I'd be glad to be able to interview him. And hopefully one day he'll come back to broadcasting. That's up to him. But what he did for us in that time from 2013 to 2015 will stand the test of time, Jerry.
Well, please tell him hello from me.
No, well, I'm going to keep you on the line, and, of course, you know, we'll bring on another person that, you know, has a chance, like I do and Christine Powell does on April 7th. This young lady has the opportunity to be, you know, nominated for that same Hall of Fame that you're already enshrined in. The wonderful Sister Betsy DeTruther. Let's keep her in our prayers, and she hopefully gets nominated this year. Sister Betsy, how do you like that show tonight?
Oh, man, I just was, you know, moving in my seat because I remember this brother stood up for what he believed, and he did not back down, and that's what I call some strength. And when he talked about the abortion situation, I knew I had talked about that before, and I said 64
yes,
million babies. And then I also stated about Margaret Singer and what she said, that the ministers will be used to enlist the women in the black community to have these abortions. So this brother stood up for what he believed. And, you know, I just love him. I know he's not on no more, but you know, I send my love to you, brother, because you stood your ground. And I just love everything about the show.
Well, first of all, we'll go to Jerry and then to you. To hear our wonderful angel that's passed away, and she died on February 4th, 2019, on Valentine's Day, the enshrined Hall of Famer, our sister, Darlene Lawrence, Jerry, and then Bessie.
Well, first I want to say hi to Sister Bessie, and God bless you, sweetheart.
Mama.
And yep, love you. I'm so happy to hear your voice. as far as Darlene, again, it brought tears to my eyes listening to her. And this show for me personally was so needed. She was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And may she rest in peace. She's a heavenly angel now.
Sister Bessie?
It was wonderful because I heard her say, my brother, my brother.
Yep.
And I love that about her when she said that, my sister, and my brother. And I cannot never forget, she was one of the people that supported me when I did not believe in myself. And she will always be in my heart for what I experienced from her from the time that I knew her from this podcast. And we have lost that family unit in our in our podcast with the support of each other. It's time for us to bring it back because we got millions of people listening to us. Let's bring this family unit back, fellow hosts.
Uh-oh. I'm going to bring on somebody that, you know, one person. Hey, Bessie, you know, I'm rooting for you. You know I want you to be nominated. Jared Petito, you already enshrined. And now our newest enshrined Hall of Famer. Mr. Huni Bakatun, a man, myth, and a legend, all the way live. The 2020 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting enshrining.
Brother Huni.
Hey, just like the great man, the ancestral voice of that Hall of Famer, man. Right now I'm getting tears, but I want y'all to always remember this song. A young man started off about 4 years ago, and he was doing his best to say, as always, to give thanks to all and all who's in all, through all, above, and compared to all. And on that note, we'll be back.
Another advancement. Well, first of all, Huni Bakatun, you know, let's just go there. First of all, I want to, you know, your opinion of Louis H. Devon Jr. tonight, and then, of course, our ancestral angel, and how you feel about someone who, with Andrea Presley, winning, you know, the first two, Jerry and Huni and Bessie, they're going to our Hall of Fame, Darlene and Andrea Presley, but we're not talking about twin tonight. Your opinions on Louis H. Devon Jr., who you interviewed, and then your opinion on the great late Darlene Lawrence.
All I can just say is brilliant, and I take it as a blessing from on high that he was definitely a special guest of mine earlier in my career, and I attribute a lot of what I'm doing today on his behalf to continue that type of excellence and greatness. Now, as far as Ms. Darlene Lawrence, man, it's like I only heard her tone of voice a couple of times, but she was very, very passionate about what she did. And I'm telling you, her words will outlast the sands of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the greatest thing, man. You know, Oney Dynasty, what Sister Bessie said tonight is, you know, so relevant. You know, and we're not here to bash. You know, people have responsibilities. And just like Psalms 1, they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. I'm going to leave that alone. When it comes down to, yeah, I feel like Lonnie tonight. I'm trying not to do the 2014 Jared Petito. Hold me back, but I'm going to try to keep it excellent. you know, but when it comes down to support, this is a performance-based business. And a lot of times people get offended with conversations. Mm-hmm. And they don't have thick skin. The greatness of an individual is the support of other individuals. That's not me. That's Will of God, one of our hosts. He said that. But before Will of God came onto this network, we were doing that here at Oney Dynasty. We need to just be more progressive. I think Sister Bessie said it best. I don't need to expound upon that because she said it. We need to do a better job in just being able to support. We have hosts on the network that have shows. How can they know you even on the air? How can you perform championships when no one knows you? On that note, somewhere down these only stations, we have the wonderful International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Class of 2018 enshrining Miss Andrea Presley, who's right now in a ward taking care of sick folk, and thank God she hasn't got sick herself. And the name of her show is National Syndicated Radio, and she'll be here tomorrow night, 9:30 Eastern Daylight on these stations. at Beverly Nation. And, of course, Beverly Nation has the advertising on it, which is all of Bellin Goes in the process. Reach, of course, at www.lookinglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as and Ngozi Primetime on that, BevNet.com. We're Ngozi Time both for Twitter and Instagram. Ola Dela Ngozi at Twitter, Google Plus. Ola Dela Malaywa Ngozi at Facebook, as well as our business page. You know, tonight was a BevNet classic. You know you're looking for something else. That wasn't our fault. Any comments on the wonderful program tonight? Ola Day Lay Down Ngozi with mine, gmail.com, and I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Dela Malaywa Ngozi, saying good night and good luck. All the folks out there on Force Radio that support us on a constant basis tonight. We will in turn, hopefully this young lady will be nominated on April 7th to the Hall of Fame, internationally wise and known. Sister Bessie the Truther, a woman at ONA, has garnered 36 all-time connection records since 2019. Sister Bessie, any comments and suggestions tonight, and what you would, how you feel, or actually 2018, excuse me. Any kind of suggestions with how you feel tonight?
No, I feel good after listening to Brother Lewis. You know, I'm inspired by what I heard from him, you know, because sometimes we become frightened of what we do. But I am inspired to stand my ground, as he just proved to me that you have to be strong in your word and what you believe in. So
yes,
I'm inspired by this program.
Yes, indeed. Got myself all caught up because I think about the next person I'm about to bring on. And that year, she came on in 2018, and she came on with Gangbusters and all that. The 2019 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting enshrinee, the Jersey Jewel, as I would be able to pronounce the cake, but there's no other way to do it but to say her name, Miss Jerry Petito.
Listen, you cracked me up.
And
hi,
also,
everybody.
Get ready for the battle of, hold on, get ready for the battle of the network starts in June, the 3rd annual. It's coming. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hi, Uni. Are you there, baby? Is he there?
He's there. He can hear you.
Okay. I just want to say hi to him. So, I mean, I don't know what else to say except you know how I feel.
I shook up the world. I shook up the world.
Listen,
you ain't gonna shook up nothing if you beat Jerry Petito in a one-on-one. I'm gonna leave that alone, Jerry.
Listen, Clubber Lang, don't get me started here. All right. So I want to just tell everybody out there something that may happen. I may have an opportunity to interview the real Rocky's brother at this point. I'm working on
it,
you guys. I'm working on this, okay? That would be one step away, guys.
All right?
Wow.
I'm working on this.
We
corresponded already.
All right.
Okay. So anyway, having said that, O&E, you know how I feel about O&E. I mean, you know, Beverly Nation, Damon Looks, right? You know, we all joke around, and when we come on to each other's shows, we say hello to each other and all that good stuff. And we do need to get our family back. You know, Sister Bessie, you're right. We've got to get that connection back.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing about O&E is the umbrella that, like, it protects us. O&E protects Beverly and Damon. And look at where we are. I mean, I was listening to that show, and I'm messaging Brother Owen saying 14,000. I mean, look at where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just getting better and better and better, and growing and growing and growing. So I have so much faith in O&E, and I'll never stop it. I'll never lose my faith in it because it's the most incredible network out there. And Brother O, you know what I'm going to say to you, and don't stop me. You are also in the Hall of Fame Okay, not only are you 2019 International Hall of Fame for DJ, you're also going to end up getting in there for producer. I have no qualms about that at all. It's going to happen. You are one of the greatest mm-hmm. producers of all time, okay? Mm-hmm. And when I say it, I'm going to say it with a tone so that you get it, because you are, and you are deserving of it, and it will absolutely happen, okay? What you do for me personally as a radio show host, I can't listen. I don't want to put any other hosts down or any other producers down. All my networks are great, but you go above and beyond. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I just want to say that to you.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it comes from a Hall of Famer. That's a broadcasting Hall of Famer. And one day, hopefully, I will be part of that, you know, that wonderful, wonderful company of people. And, you know, Sister Bessie deserves a nomination to the Hall of Fame for what she's done for us and her truth. And now a person that went through a lot, and he became enshrined last year. In the roughest year of human history, guys, this guy became a Hall of Famer in the roughest year in human history. The 2020 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting enshrinee, the man, the myth, the legend, he calls himself the Magic Man Haru, but we know him as Huni Bakatun. Huni, tell me about this show tonight and any last words you have. Well, hopefully he's there. And he knows, he gets on his Antonio Bat kick right now.
I was yelling, free James Brown, free James Brown. Y'all can hear me. Yeah, but I enjoyed this show. Very inspirational. And for our producer, our CEO, and one of my, you know, blood brothers and soul brothers, man, I don't think anyone who deserves it better. You deserve to get that producer this year, producer. Matter of fact, I would even go a step further and say producer of the year.
Woo! Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm. Yes.
I had to be quiet on that one because, I mean, I know how Huni Bakatun gets to that point. But it's all in God's will. You know, been eligible since 2019, and I got my nomination in 2019. Didn't get it in. I was blessed to be able to be, you know, to be able to recognize the arts and sounds of music as a disc jockey in 2019 with Joey Petito.
Yeah.
And, you know, to become, you know, I think, you know, it's like an umph, guys, you know, that umph. I understand what you said about that Wynton Marsalis, the umph. You know, the oomph, oomph. You know, when you play that trombone, Sister Bessie and Jerry Petito, you feel it. And when I do my music for you guys and Huni Bakatun, I feel the oomph, oomph. And it's a wonderful thing to be part of the Hall of Fame in that, knowing that my knowledge of music has been appreciated around the world. I would say humbly, it will be in God's will if I make it into the Hall of Fame. But I say it like this as a producer, but I say it like this. All the people, including hosts that are maybe listening on the internet, and the sound of my voice, we must do a better job as a family. Only Dynasty at that time was small and fledgling. We had so much love, Tim, for each other. And everybody supported everyone else's shows. And if it wasn't for that, it wouldn't be no Huni Bakatun or Sister Bessie or Cherry Petito. The love we had at that time resonated. It abounded. Mm-hmm. Because we believed that it was us against the world. Let us not get so caught up in numbers and entitlement that we lose that train of thought. How about that, guys? Let us not get caught up in entitlement. Mm-hmm. We feel that we're entitled. Oh, look at ONA, it's so great. Not calling when I need to. That's okay, because our listeners hear us on a constant basis. They love who we are. but we put people on trial tonight. Do we love on E like the people that listen to us? Did you hear what I just said, guys? Do we as a family love O&E like the people that listen to us? Think about that.
Mm-hmm.